scripture passage today comes from Jeremiah 17:8. And I'm going to ask you if you would pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for the reminder again of new starts. The school year gives us a chance to consider in our own lives the possibility of a new start, where you would have us to consider something new. We've already said that if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creature, that the old things have gone and the new things have come. God, forgive us when we are okay with the old, and that we forget to surrender our hearts to you, that you might make us new. And so, Lord, today I pray that you would help us to have our hearts completely wide open. Not just today, but in the weeks and the months and the years to come. Change us, God, because we can't change ourselves. We need your Spirit to do the changing work in us. And so this is our prayer. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so where do I begin? I want to read this scripture, and I want to pose this as an image for us. Jeremiah 17:8. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. When you read this passage, as is often the case for us who are Western Christians, we read this passage and we ask, what does that mean to you personally? How does my life look like this tree that never falters, that never fails, that never fails to produce fruit? And I think that's an important consideration. We should always be, you know, examining and asking, God, am I producing fruit in my life? Are you producing fruit in my life? Is the Holy Spirit producing fruit in my life? So, as I say often, if you're sitting in this congregation, in this church, that's what we are about. We're about looking at our lives, being a little bit introspective, and saying, where is it that I should grow? When I first read this passage, though, what the image that came to me was more about the image of the church. Is the church this picture? Does the church, and does living here as part of the church, look like a tree that's planted by the water, that sends out its roots by the stream? Do we not fear when he comes, and are our leaves always green? Do we have no worries in the year of drought? And do we never fail to bear fruit? Now, sometimes this worry of the year drought, I'm going to just say this and we're going to talk about it a little bit more. There's a little announcement here from the finance department about where we are. And I want you to know that I'm not worried. That's an example. It might look droughty-ish, but I know this. I know that God, I know this from personal experience, and I know this from being in ministry for 30 years, that God is always faithful. God will provide. It doesn't matter. Honestly, folks, yes, do we need your resources? Absolutely. Do we need you to be faithful in your tithing and, you know, catching up on mid-month? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, I trust God. God will help us make a way. And in that trust, I can be free. And you can be free too. When you trust the Lord, you can be free to just do what God asks you to do. It has no worries in the year of drought. I'm not going to sit around and worry about a lot of things. Because this says that if you're planted by the stream, you don't worry. And I've already shared with you, I think I have my mom's worry gene. It's one of the things she asked me. But this encourages me because, you know, we are to be a congregation that doesn't worry, that doesn't fear when he comes, and he is here. I look out at the context of where we are right now, and there's so much fear mongering happening. It would be easy for us to be paralyzed in that fear, and God says, don't fear. Stay rooted. Stay rooted. And that's what we're going to be talking about as disciples.
from Los Angeles last night.
I was there from Wednesday to last night. And I was attending a conference that was sponsored by an organization called the Christian Community Development Association. Each year, CCDA brings a few thousand Christian leaders, practitioners, pastors, Christian organizational leaders that come together and that consider what is God's call to us as Christian leaders, as churches, around issues of justice and equity and following Jesus. Several of us were there. Paul Kim was there, Tally was there, Ricky from our congregation. Paul and Tally came because of their work at SPU. Ricky came because of his work at the Gospel Mission. So there were a couple of us from Lake Marion that were there. Next year this conference is in Detroit, and I strongly urge you to come with me. Come with us. And here's why. We have a lot to learn, but we have a lot to offer. We have a whole lot to offer this conversation of Christian community development. This year, I've met, CCDA has been around for 27 years. I think I've gone to their conferences for probably 17 years. And in the majority of those conferences, I've been asked to lead workshops. So I've gone and I've led workshops, I've sat on panels, and this year they invited me to be one of their keynote speakers, which is, it's very daunting, primarily because I'm talking to, it was 2,300 people, and you're talking to people who do what I do, and I'm with my peers who are people who've been doing this for quite some time. And so I asked the organizing committee, why me? And here's what they said. You're a woman, which that association is continuing to deal with issues of equity and women in ministry. Because you're Samoan, because they don't have any Samoan people in this association. Because you're a pastor, and because you're in the PCUSA, and our denomination, the Presbyterian Church of the United States of America. And so that was there, and because it was on the West Coast, they wanted to have a representation of all different kinds of people who live on the West Coast. And so I said yes. And it was very humbling. I spoke on Thursday night. And the word or the image that God gave for me to share was this image of discipleship. Tally, Paul, and I have often talked about what is the challenge for the church in this season of our life. And the challenge is of discipleship. I firmly, wholeheartedly believe that one of the reasons the church is sidelined often in conversations that are happening in the marketplace is because we have not been discipled. We have been discipled in one particular way. Our vision of Jesus looks one way. And if you don't think that the vision of Jesus makes a difference, it absolutely makes a difference. How you see Jesus informs the way that you do your work in the world. It informs the way that you show up as a Christian in the workplace. So my message to them was about vision. I shared with them my journey to Lake Marion. I shared with them that when I started visiting Lake Marion, sitting in the back, kind of praying, making sure God was saying, yes, this is where I want you to go. And this is what I saw. I saw 90 people consistently over the 5 weeks that I visited, about an average of 90 people in the pews, and about 70 of those people were people over the age of 60. All white. And I think I counted about 7 children on the Sunday, the average. You saw what we had in common here. I think the average of the numbers of kids that I saw was 7, and I prayed to God, surely, Lord, this cannot be where you want me. I was scared. I was scared because I knew, praise the Lord, the vision of the leaders at that time, the elders, was to try to address the picture, the visual. And was there something that God wanted to do differently given the neighborhood that we live in? And so, Tobin, by the way, I got to have dinner with Don and Tobin. A lot of them there, and they sent their love and their greetings. They missed you all. And it was, we probably sat and talked for 4 hours. But this was kind of what Tobin talked to me about. It was Tobin, Margarita, Carl Larson, the glass conversation about who are we not to be. And so, you know, if you don't know, our denomination is in pretty tough shape right now. If you don't look at our denomination, what's happening on the national level, churches are closing, congregations are shutting down, people are leaving neighborhoods. People would be, honestly, I think that if Liz Green had addressed humbly and with faith, because we still don't know. We're just trying to be obedient. But in communities all over our Seattle region, congregations are closing. The South Park Church has closed. The Renton Church has closed. There's a whole list of churches in our denomination that have closed. And some people think that the reason that they're closing is around the gender and marriage issue, and I don't think it's that. It's way bigger than that. It's about how you see Jesus. If you and I don't have a picture of Jesus that's compelling, this is what the scripture says, without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, basically, you die. And so for us here at Lutheran, this is what we're talking about. What is the vision of Jesus that we carry? Because we all have one. I want to take a look at a few pictures. Carla, do you have the PowerPoint? When I started going, my parents moved into White Center in the late 50s, and I went to Sunday school at Mountain Presbyterian Church. And I remember as a five-year-old walking into their fireside room, and this was the picture of Jesus that was up on the wall. Many of us, this is the picture of Jesus that we saw. And I have to tell you, as a brown child, that picture was kind of pretty. But there was something to that about that picture that didn't seem personal to me. Let's go to the next picture. This picture, when I teach this class, Sally and I teach a class every spring at Fuller, this picture is the one that was brought to the Samoan Islands when the missionaries came. I'm pretty sure this is the picture that they came with, which doesn't look anything like the people that they were in with. This I call the Presbyterian looking Jesus. And here's why. Because it's nice and neat and orderly. We are about the order in our denomination. And I'm just going to pose this. We need a different way to think about who we're called to be, because I don't think that this vision of Jesus works in our neighborhood. In fact, I know it doesn't work.
Right.
It does not work. And yet, is this the picture of Jesus that we're carrying around in our backpack when we show up in the neighborhood? Next picture. This is another image that we were given. This, and not to say that Jesus was not a shepherd, because we know that this is true. But does this agricultural, rural Jesus work on 152nd and Amon? I don't think so. Does this picture work on 153rd? When you drive down 153rd and on both sides of the street, you see a world of different businesses and restaurants. A rural Jesus doesn't work. A rural Jesus might work in a rural community. That is not who we are. Is this the picture, though, that we carry? And sometimes the way that we see limits the way that we can follow Jesus and be disciples, and live to this idea of being flourishing and healthy and producing green leaves. Next picture. I love this picture. This is a totally different picture. Someone's picture of Jesus. I have to say, in the work that I've done in community over 30 years, this is the Jesus that I see when I'm working with students. I look into the eyes of this Jesus, and this is the Jesus that I see in many of the young men, particularly, that I've worked with. Sorrow. Not that that's the only picture, but we have to understand what we're looking at, so that when we show up, we can be incarnational, that we can flesh and embody the kind of expression of Jesus that will make sense to the people that we serve and that we're called to be friends with. Next. Jesus overall, the supremacy of Christ, it's absolutely a picture in scripture that we know. Jesus is Jesus over the city. Absolutely. Right? But there's also the Jesus that, this is the supremacy of Christ. Ephesians. Jesus over. But that particular Bible book, Ephesians, right, the supremacy of Christ, it's not an accident that it's right next to Philippians, which has a different view of Jesus. It's the Jesus that gives us power, right, and comes to us in the form of a servant. Next. I love this Jesus. The last one. This is Jamie to me, actually. Next. The Kanye Jesus. This, depending on what generation you're in, this might not be the same Jesus. But for some young people, you know, young people are not against God. They want God, but they want God to show up in a way that makes sense for them. And what we keep doing is giving them an image or a way that doesn't make sense. Next. I won't say anything about that. Thanks, Carla. We can stop there for a minute. So, why am I talking about this? Because your vision of Jesus informs the way that you show up.
Yeah.
And people in our community will get a vision of Jesus based on how they see we show up in our community. Right? Sometimes you can have even the right answer, and you can have the wrong practices. You can have the right answer, Jesus is the answer, but then you show up and you have practices that are so antithetical to the way that Jesus wants to show up in our community. I talked a little bit about Mark 8 last week, and I want to just revisit that because we're going to be revisiting this in pieces over the next 8 weeks or so. So I said last week that Mark chapters 1 through 7, Jesus is modeling what it looks like to show up in the world. Mark 8 comes, and Jesus has this conversation with Peter, right? He says to Peter, who do you say that I am? He says, Peter, who do you say that I am? That is a question of vision. Who do you say and who do you see that I am? And Peter gives the right answer. What does Peter say? Anybody know? You are the Christ. He says, Peter says, Jesus, you're the Messiah. And then Jesus begins to say, here's what the Messiah looks like. The Messiah will suffer. The Messiah will be rejected. The Messiah will endure many things. And basically unpacks for Peter what it looks like to be the Messiah. And Peter says this, get behind me, Satan. Peter doesn't want to hear that vision that came from Jesus himself. And then Jesus says to Peter, you don't understand. Essentially, you don't see. Essentially, you can have the right answer and the wrong practice. You can have the right answer and the wrong practice because we need to get our vision fixed. We need to have our eyes checked constantly. Constantly. Whenever we can. That's the beautiful thing about being a person that's trying to do this. You don't stay the same. If you're the same person following Jesus today that you were 10 years ago, but here's the good news. God wants to do a work in all of us and make us change, renew us. Renew us by the power of His Holy Spirit. He doesn't want us to ever stay the same. And sometimes our vision doesn't change. Sometimes we're still practicing our vision like it looks in the stable, that vision of the stable. I was thinking about my grandmother a lot in the last couple of weeks because I had a lot of time to think. And I'm thinking, how odd is this woman who is in the middle of the Pacific Ocean on this tiny, tiny island and met God through missionaries that came, which was so important. But I will tell you, the vision that they gave her didn't look anything like our village. Sure did. Sure did. Right? And so many of us in this conversation, who come from different countries, different places in the world, are given a Jesus that does not quite look like us. And I'm a prayer for Lakerian is that we would be people who are willing to challenge the way that we see. That's all. Why? For the sake of the gospel. We have to. We have to do this for the sake of the gospel. And it's not going to be nice. And it's not going to be easy because nobody wants to change. I don't. And I did share with the group of folks that I spoke to, this has been the most amazing journey for me in the last 2+ years, well, 4 or 5 years almost, walking and being part of this process with all of you that God is doing, but it hasn't come about as hard times. I know that we've gone through some tough times, I know that we're not who we were even 5 years ago, and yet I feel like God is saying, keep going. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. My mom was a witness to me that you can be 87 years old and still change. You can be 5 and you change. And I think that's exciting. I think that's what God wants for us. That said, we could be the most multi-ethnic, multicultural, diverse, blah, 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 church in the world and still miss Jesus. Amen? The goal is not to be multicultural, multi-ethnic for the sake of that. The goal is to follow Jesus and to have a vision of Jesus. And what happens when we have a vision of Jesus that's compelling, God draws people to that. We could have everything perfect. We could have a band that has all different people from all around the world. And you can build a ministry based on, you know, let's be multicultural, multi-ethnic because that's the real deal, and I'm here to tell you that it's not. But I also know that when you hold up a vision of Jesus that is compelling and it's something that people want to give their life to, God grows that in whatever way God sees fit. It might be growing it with numbers, it might not. It just might not, and that's the reality. What we're called to do is to be thankful. That's what we're going to talk about in the coming weeks. What does it mean to be rooted in discipleship? Please, it's a challenge to all of you sitting out there in the next 8 weeks, would you make a commitment to grow in Christ? Would you make a commitment to grow in your understanding of Jesus and in your love for Him? And I believe this, that God will take care of whatever God wants to do if we're faithful to follow Him. The invitation was to follow. That means relationship. The invitation was to follow a living God. That was the invitation that you and I believe in. And so let's, for the next 7 or 8 weeks, let's try it on, see how it works. Can we do that? Can we do that?
Yes.
All right. I'd like to pray. Thank you, Lord, for just thank you, God, that you did not leave us to ourselves in this world, but that you have invited us to follow you into a life that is full. You have invited us as a community to journey toward the cross. And I pray for myself and I pray for each person in this room that we will allow you to work with our vision. And to lead us more and more towards you. Lead us deeper towards you. That we might be an expression of life, abundant life, fulfilling life, that is so great that people want to know what that is. And as we lift you up, that you will draw whoever needs to be drawn to you, will be drawn to you. Meet us in our time of need and our time of questions. Help us to trust you as we walk in discipleship, following you, and walking with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.